Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts. Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed, once again, we're looking in the book of Acts, chapter number 9, verse number 21. For those of you that are following along, I've got my cup of hot tea. I hope you've got your coffee and you're sitting in a nice, comfortable chair, preferably one that either has a footstool or it raises up like a lazy boy.
Nice recliner. There you go.
Recliner, yeah. I love recliners.
Yep.
All those who heard him were astonished, and they asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" They're all wondering about this Apostle Paul. Saul here, but soon to be called the Apostle Paul.
Yeah, it's an amazing transformation story. Here's this guy, Saul, Jewish Pharisee, on the road with letters from the Pharisees, the ones who opposed Jesus. And he was on his way to Damascus to arrest them because they were preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus. And he meets Jesus, and his life is forever changed.
It's amazing because everyone must have known about him. Obviously, he had a reputation because It says everyone who heard him was astonished.
Yeah.
They were crazy beside themselves because They thought, well, here he is doing the Lord's work, running down the Christians And trying to destroy them. And all of a sudden, there's a change that takes place in their hearts. I wondered what would happen today because there's a lot of people that malign Christians. Yeah. They say things against Christians. You hear them on the media. They make fun of them, make jokes of them. If a vice president says something because he's a Christian, they make fun of him. You wonder what would happen if they would get knocked off of their studio chairs or get knocked off of their donkey, Whatever they're riding that day. What would happen to them? They would all be astonished. We would be astonished all of a sudden if these people started saying things about good things.
Yeah, affirming the person and work of Jesus Christ, affirming that Scripture is truly what it says it is, God's word to us, affirming what we have been proclaiming as the way, the truth, and life. For them to, who have, like you said, maligned it, and Then come and do a 180, and start going back to the same scriptures or looking at the scriptures with a new light. That's the thing that, Saul knew the Old Testament. He was well-versed in it as a Pharisee. And now when he's reading it, it's like the Holy Spirit has brought revelation knowledge to him. Same word, nothing's changed there, but now he sees it in a new light and he sees Jesus on each page.
And isn't this the man who raised havoc in the taverns?
Yeah.
No, actually not in the taverns.
Not in the taverns.
But in Jerusalem. Right. Now he's in Damascus. And So his reputation went before him.
Yeah.
And don't you know somebody who actually, before they became Christians, they were some real nasty people?
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, had some horrible testimonies.
Yeah.
We've had people talk about, if it wasn't for the Lord, they would be in jail because of what they'd done.
Exactly.
But there was a grace that was expressed and recognized, and it changed their whole life.
Yeah, it's amazing what an encounter with God can do for a person.
And so here's a man who was causing problems in Jerusalem. He goes to Damascus to do the same thing, and all of a sudden his whole life changes on one ride, one trip, one journey. Being changed.
Instantly.
Right.
I like that word immediately. It's used over and over in Scripture, and that's what happened to Paul. Immediately, instantly, he had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. And when you talk to Jesus and your heart is open to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he shares with you what he's done, and you let that roll around in your heart and in your spirit, it might just change your life.
It probably would.
Yeah.
And they, of course, these people who are looking at the change because they figured that this Paul is going to come or Saul is going to arrest people.
Yeah.
And they say, isn't this the man who's raised this havoc in Jerusalem?
Yep.
And hasn't he come here to take these people prisoners and bring them back to the chief priests?
Yeah. They're a little hesitant to believe him.
Yeah.
Because they knew what he was coming for. They knew his game plan. But now he's, wait a minute, what's going on here? And so they're questioning that, and they're trying to, to make a determination. Is this guy on the level, or is he just using this to rope us in so that he can throw the cuffs on us?
So then it goes on and says, yet Saul grew more and more powerful.
Mm.
Now, to me, he's pretty powerful. He's got letters from the priests. He's got power. He's got all kinds of people behind him.
Yeah.
But it says that when he became a Christian, he became more powerful.
Yeah. And he kept growing more and more powerful.
That's kind of blows people's minds. All of a sudden, he becomes more and more powerful.
Well, because immediately those letters that he had in his pocket were useless.
Useless.
Yeah, he had no connection to them because the minute a Jewish person, made this decision to proclaim Jesus Christ as the Messiah, he lost everything.
Yeah.
So in human terms, he's becoming powerless in regards to the economy of his day, but in regards to Christianity and spiritual things, he's growing more and more powerful.
And that's pretty amazing because it baffled right. the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ right. because it baffles them because he's coming for one purpose and a change they see in his life. Yeah. Proves the fact that Jesus is real.
But he's this Jewish carpenter from Nazareth. Yeah. Can anything good come from Nazareth?
Yeah.
I think we heard about that. And then he was crucified on a cross. How could the Messiah be nailed to a cross, Paul? What is going on with your thinking?
How could this happen,
yeah.
for one thing, for sure, that a man who is schooled from Gamaliel yeah. would possibly now follow a carpenter?
Right.
Like
right.
you mentioned.
What do you believe in that for? There's no way.
How?
There's no way that this guy is the Messiah. And Paul takes him, Saul, you know, takes him back from Genesis to Malachi, and he starts showing them he is the one.
I remember in one of the first churches that it wasn't the first, but it was pretty close to the first church that I really helped pastor, myself and another fellow that was in graduate school. We're pastoring a small church, maybe 130 people or so mm-hmm. out in the Missouri area.
Okay.
And there was a man who came, and he was invited to come and preach. And we heard his story, and he had a PhD, and he graduated. I don't want to say the name of the university, but he did his dissertation for his doctorate on why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not of God.
Mm, okay.
So he's got all this education, and he's got it all documented. Yeah. And then he receives the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking yeah. in tongues.
Yeah.
Now he's got this great experience, yeah. and he's got all this knowledge against it, and yeah. he experiences it, and now he's preaching it. He's yeah. preaching the baptism
Isn't
of the Holy Spirit.
Awesome.
But that's what happened
that's,
here to Paul,
that's exactly
really.
What
the
happened.
Same thing happened to him. He's against it, now he's for it.
Now he's for it. Yeah, you know, he had everything that a Jewish guy could want.
He did.
He had the pedigree. He had the connections with the people.
Plus, he was a Roman citizen.
He was a Roman citizen. He had everything a person could want in that day. And the moment he chose to follow Christ, his Roman citizenship, I mean, it still held weight, but the Romans didn't necessarily look kindly at Christians. And
no.
then the Jews didn't look kindly
no.
at Christians. So all the stuff that he had going for him became naught.
So you have to ask yourself, when it says, yet he grew more and more powerful.
Yeah.
You mentioned it before. It is not a worldly power.
No.
It's a spiritual understanding, a wisdom of life
yeah.
that really overtook him and directed his life in a whole nother fashion.
Yeah.
It's truly amazing. That's power when you can change a life.
Yeah. Kierkegaard, an 18th century philosopher from Denmark, you know, would said to be a Christian, you got to take a leap of faith. And and sometimes, you know, you can have all the trappings of the world and all this stuff. But when you come to the place of looking at Christ, a man crucified on a cross, stating that he's risen from the dead, all of this stuff, some things, you know, we can prove that Jesus lived on the earth. There's some historical record of that. There's historical record of Pontius Pilate sending a guy named Jesus to the. So we can believe that because there's historical record. But him being the Son of God, him being raised from the dead, you know, that takes faith. And you have to believe in the supernatural. And that's what happened to Saul at this moment. He knew Jesus had existed, but he didn't see him as the Son of God or risen from the dead. But
no,
he took that leap of faith.
He thought he was a blasphemer, actually.
Right? Yeah. But he took that leap of faith, and now his life was changed.
Yeah, I was just in a conversation this last weekend with my son's neighbor in Washington State, and we were talking over the fence, and he's 75, and he says in the last 3 years or so, he's made a return to Christ mm-hmm. in church.
Yeah.
And he says, the reason is, he says, I began to understand I'm 75. I'm not going to live that much longer.
Right.
He started looking at eternity. And it's amazing what happens, like you say, when your perspective changes,
yeah.
whether it's through an experience, whether it's through an understanding of your life and where you are, eventually you're going to have to take some sort of step to
yeah.
say, have I been on the right path? Is this really going to
right.
continue or is this thing going to fall apart?
Yeah. What's the future?
What's the future?
And this stuff that these Christians have been talking about, if it's real,
yes,
and I don't believe, then I know where I'm going to spend eternity. Mm-hmm. But if it is real, and I give my life over to Christ, then I'm guaranteed eternal life. So you've got to answer that question. You really do.
You do. And this man that I spoke with just this last weekend, over the fence, we had a chat. He's on the right direction. Then
right.
I went to church. And when I went to church with my son, and he went to a church, and the preacher preaches a pretty good message on love.
Yeah.
But when we talked to actually about hell, he does not believe in hell.
Mm.
He believes in annihilation. Now, I asked him, he said, how can you actually believe the Son of God and what he teaches? Because he taught about hell.
Right.
And you not believe it. But see, now there's a case where you're thinking completely wrong.
Right.
And here, the other guy, he said, well, maybe I better get myself straight so I miss it.
Exactly.
And the other guy said, it doesn't matter because you're not going to remember anything anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, well, that's totally wrong. And
yeah.
yet one's a preacher and one's just a regular guy.
Yeah, trying to figure out life.
So it's when Paul grows more and more powerful, I'm sure it's a powerful understanding of the Word of God. And he begins to baffle the Jews. And it says, after many days had gone by, the Jews conspire to kill him.
Here they go again.
They kill Jesus.
Yeah.
Got to get rid of this guy, too. It's like the mafia almost. Boom, let's get rid of him.
Yeah. Grab the cannolis kind of thing.
Yeah. He could testify against us.
You know, it's just a sad commentary because the Jews who are conspiring to kill him knew the Old Testament, what he was preaching, they knew that word, but they hadn't received that revelation knowledge yet.
That's true. So the next verse says Paul learned of their plan, and we don't actually know how he learned of their plan.
Yeah.
It could have been the Holy Spirit, because we know how the Holy Spirit helped the Magi to not go back to visit Herod, and they saw it in a dream. It could be anywhere. It could be just a word got out, and they told Saul, they said, you can't do this. You're going to be in trouble because they're going to kill you. So he learns of their plan. Day and night, they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. So obviously, there's a wall around the city, and there's only one way to get in and out, and that's through a gate.
Right.
You know, and it's like you're in a fortress. And so the gates, they're watching the gates. So they've got these assassins at the gate.
Ready
to kill him as soon as they see him. They know who he is. I don't know if they had photographs, but they knew who he was. And so they're ready to kill him at the gate.
Yeah. I can't imagine living with that knowledge as that person. You know, I know if the minute I leave this town.
He's got to be hiding somewhere. Because they're waiting to kill him. I don't know what Paul's doing with that, like you said.
Yep.
That's a tough thought.
It is.
But his followers took him by night, lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall.
Yeah.
We don't think about that so much. I guess today we say, well, he took an Uber cab out of town.
He hid in the trunk.
Yeah. I had a 58 Chevy like that. It was a convertible, but it didn't have any place in the back. So you could hide in the trunk and you could come out inside the car.
Oh, there you go.
So, so you could go into the movie theaters with a couple guys in the back and you didn't have to pay.
You didn't have to pay for the guests.
So here they're lowering them over the wall. I'm sorry about that one. That one will have to repent over. But here, lowering them over a wall. I can't imagine. That must have been some kind of basket.
You know, what kind of friends, though? The good friends. They didn't want to see him harmed. They knew he was preaching the truth. And so they put their lives in jeopardy to do this for a friend.
You wonder, what would you do for a friend? Sometimes when people are belittling Christians and they're belittling Christianity, we kind of just sit around and we agree with them because we don't want to be persecuted.
Yeah.
And yet these guys were willing to risk their life because basically they were going to kill Saul.
Yep.
And if they're helping to get him out of the city, you're in trouble too.
Word's going to get around.
Word
gets around. And like they said, Paul found out about what was going to happen there. So you can't keep it. It doesn't seem like you can keep too many secrets.
No. Yeah. Maybe you should be careful that you should help put that Christian theology into a basket of safety and not allow it to be destroyed because that's what's happening today.
That's it.
Christianity's under attack.
Yeah.
Here, Paul's under attack.
Right.
And so they put him in a basket, protecting him and putting him down over the wall. So you should protect the name of Jesus, protect the word, especially if you're a Christian.
Amen. Protect the truth, because it is going to last. That's the only thing that'll last.
That's
Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away.
And when he came to Jerusalem, he leaves now Damascus over the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. So here he is. He finally gets a little help in Damascus. They were a little bit worried about him. They finally get some help. Get him out of the city. Now he gets to another city. They don't want nothing to do with him.
Somebody
again.
Said, go see Peter. Go see James and John. They will help you. They'll bring you in. You'll be safe in Jerusalem. Go back to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Okay. No, we don't want you here,
they
buddy.
They were all afraid of him. They were afraid of him.
Yeah.
Not believing that he really was a disciple. And the honest truth is if you know anything about communism or Russians, or you watch the spy networks or anything, people always pretend to be something and they're double agents.
Double agents.
So you don't know if he's a double agent. He could be a double agent.
This guy had a reputation.
Whew.
This guy was out there. He was arresting people. He was vehemently opposed to Christianity.
Wow.
And now he's claiming to be a Christ. Now, I'd have a little bit of a problem trying to believe it as well.
And fortunately, in verse number 27, Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. Now, Barnabas, he must have been a very generous and forgiving individual, because if I remember Barnabas, he was very generous. He sold a lot of things and took care of the poor. He was very good, and he reached out to the Apostle Paul when nobody else would. He went on his first missionary journey with the Apostle Paul. I mean, Barnabas is, I can't remember what his name means, but
son of encouragement.
There it is, son of encouragement. Yeah. Bar. Nabas.
Nabas.
Well,
must be an encouragement.
It must be.
Yeah, but he comes alongside Paul, and he's willing to risk his own life.
Yes, he was.
You know, and show them and tell them the story of what happened to Saul.
And that's what he did. He told them the story how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, that is awesome.
Sometimes we need a friend to come alongside and encourage us.
And to speak fearlessly.
Yeah.
This is Pastor Adam and Pastor Reed. God bless you. May you have a great day, and may you be protected in a basket.